When it comes to Canadians spending money on their health, it seems that many want alternatives available to them. A new survey shows that more than half of Canadians used at least one form of complementary or alternative medicine or treatment during the past 12 months in this study. The report, Complementary and Alternative Medicine in Canada, Trends in Use and Public Attitudes from 1997 to 2006, is based on a survey of 2,000 adult Canadians conducted in 2006, and it follows up on a similar survey done in 1997. Nadeem Ismail is Director of Health System Performance Studies at the Fraser Institute and joins us today. Good afternoon.
Thanks for having me on the show.
What was the impetus for the study?
Well, we looked at the issue back in 1997 and we thought to ourselves, the health world has just changed. The amount of information available to people out there is quite a bit different now than it was in 97. People are asking more questions about health. People are more interested in the issue generally. And so we thought we'd go out and see if the use of complementary and alternative therapies had changed at all. And in fact, it has in a very interesting way. And that is that over the past year, Canadians are more likely in 2005 and 2006 to have used complementary and alternative therapies than they were in 1996, 1997.
And how has this demand changed? What do you have any numbers to show what the differences are?
Well, we do. Over a lifetime, it's still about 3/4 of Canadians have at some point in their lives tried some form of complementary and alternative medicine or therapy. But over the past years where the use has increased, in 1997, it was 50% of Canadians had used complementary and alternative medicine and therapy in the past year, whereas in 2005, 2006, it was 54%. And so we're seeing an increase in the percentage of Canadians who are interested in their own health, who are taking an active role in their own health in terms of accessing complementary and alternative medicines and therapies like chiropractic, massage, relaxation therapies, etc.
And that sort of leads to the next question. What were some, you've mentioned a couple, but what were some of the more common and popular avenues for treatment in terms of alternative and complementary practice?
Well, among the most common we see, sort of probably what Canadians suspect are going to be the most common anyways, there's chiropractic care, massage therapy, relaxation therapy, herbal therapies are up there. There's been a large increase in the use of yoga, a significant increase in interest in acupuncture. But these are the most common therapies. But we did also look at other less common therapies like chelation, like osteopathy, like homeopathy and a few others, which are still in use in Canada. So there are Canadians accessing a broad range of complementary and alternative therapies.
Were there differences in use across the country?
There were. The general trend, in fact, is that in the West, in Alberta and British Columbia, there's a lot more openness and interest in these sorts of medicines, whereas skepticism really reigns out in Atlantic Canada. And then when you come into Ontario and Quebec, you get a middling response. So as you move westward in Canada, in fact, there is an increased interest in complementary and alternative therapies.
Now, what were some of the reasons for this? Are people specifying what it is that they need, what particular ailments that they may have that they believe these particular avenues would help them?
Well, the most common ailments among those who we surveyed, so among Canadians generally, are chronic conditions like back pain, like allergies, chronic allergies, like arthritis and pain in the joints. And so these are things that need more than episodic or mm-hmm. symptomatic care. They really do need more wellness care, which is where the complementary alternative medicines and therapies plays in. And so we see that Canadians are seeking wellness. They're looking for ways to stay healthy, to stay out of the healthcare program. And we also see an openness towards alternative medicine in general. The majority of those surveyed, in fact, said that they believe that both conventional and alternative medicine have value, and that, in fact, the majority of users said that both of these together will lead them to the best possible health outcome.
Now, with this increased interest in alternative care practice, how has it impacted demand for physician services?
Well, I don't think it has. In fact, Canadians still see physicians as the primary providers of care. For 8 out of the 10 most common medical conditions that we discovered among Canadians, 8 of those 10 conditions, people were going to physicians more often than they were going to providers of complementary alternative therapies. And the majority of individuals we surveyed said they would go to their physician first for their health condition before going to the complementary and alternative medicine provider. So physicians still are the primary caregivers in Canada, and Canadians really do still see it that way. But they have an openness to another mm-hmm. option, and they are interested in healthcare and looking after their own health, and they're willing to spend their own money on it. And so that's where we see the interest in complementary and alternative therapies.
Now, with respect to the money being spent on these practices, how much are Canadians spending on a yearly basis?
Well, in 2005, 2006, we estimated an expenditure of over $7.8 billion on complementary and alternative therapies. About $5.6 billion of that was on providers, and another $2.2 billion was on books, herbs, and other accessories that would go along with the complementary and alternative therapies. So that's a pretty significant amount of healthcare expenditure. The interesting thing is, though, when you ask Canadians, would they prefer for these therapies to be covered privately or in the public insurance programs, the majority are saying that they prefer to see it covered privately and paid for by the individuals who are using it, despite that very large out-of-pocket expenditure.
So then how do you interpret these healthcare decisions and the desire to have it covered privately?
Well, I think the answer is that Canadians understand that there are trade-offs when you cover something publicly. The first trade-off being that you have to somehow finance this expenditure, either through higher taxes or reduced spending in other areas of public expenditure or possibly other areas of healthcare. So the money has to come from somewhere. And Canadians also, I think, understand that when you put something into the public insurance program, you experience the rationing and the queuing and all the other problems that seem to come along with having things covered through Medicare in Canada. And we know those problems very well when we look at the conventional medical system. So I think Canadians are, in a way, accepting these realities and understanding that they want to maintain this choice and this freedom to look after their own health through this alternative method without burdening the public purse.
It's interesting that particular aspect and that opinion held by the respondents and the debate that goes on with the public system and people, I would imagine, wanting in some ways to have a similar opportunity within the public system as well to do and have the option to choose where they want to get their care.
Well, absolutely. But, you know, the other interesting thing is that we see these differences among the provinces, and that, in a way, reminds us that Canada is a very different place from coast to coast, from province to province. And I think the ultimate solution in that sense, really, is to take the shackles off the provinces and let the provinces experiment and work within the idea of universal medicine, but work with different delivery models, with different financing models, to better suit and tailor their systems to the desires and preferences of their citizens.
Well, Nadeem Ismail, I'd like to thank you very much for taking the time to talk about this survey, and I'm sure we're going to be talking again.
Thanks for having me on the show. I look forward to it.
All the best.
Take care.
Bye-bye now. Nadeem Ismail is Director of Health System Performance Studies at the Fraser Institute. Coming up, Dr. Jay Keystone, Professor in the Department of Medicine and Director, International Health Programs at the University of Toronto, talking about tick-borne encephalitis, taking a trip to Europe. You may want to hear about this and protect yourself. I'm Dr. Barry Dworkin. You're listening to Sunday House Call.
You're listening to Dr. Barry Dworkin on Sunday House Call.
Do you forget the names of the people you met last week, even the people you met last night?